Psalm chapter number 28. And I had a good time preaching on that and hope that we helped somebody this morning. We appreciate the singing this morning that our people did. Appreciate Brother Allen, Miss Amanda, Brother Randy that was covering on the keyboard this morning. And Miss Henderson, Miss Glenda, and y'all forgive me, it's Sunday night, so Sunday night sometimes I have to keep shooting until I get rid of these blanks, but nonetheless, we're here, we're ready to worship the Lord tonight, and see what the Lord may have for us this evening. And I do want to mention some folks in prayer before we go any further. And that is, so let's continue to remember Miss Claudia in our prayers. I did want to mention this morning, little baby Eddie. I didn't mention this morning, but I wanted to. Failed to mention. So baby Eddie, this is Kylie Bruce's baby and Miss Jackie Henderson's grandbaby. And not doing well and some situations going on with him. And so... and his kidneys and such. So, church, let's lift him up tonight, baby Eddie, in our prayers. And let's also continue to remember Miss Betty Berry. And so, we love you, Miss Betty. We're praying for you. And please know that. Miss Terry, Brother Allen, and just daily praying for them and their health, and her health, her well-being, but also Miss Terry and Brother Allen as they take care of her and work their regular jobs as well. And let's remember Miss Cassie Kronovich as she has a helping hand in that, and also Miss Cassie's own personal life. And again, all of our shut-ins, we and those that are not able to be in service, those that, again, not able to be in service, but aren't able to leave the house, different things going on in their lives. Let's remember them in our prayers. Let's remember John Ashworth as he will have a rib removed soon to relieve pressure from an artery. Brother Jim Daly, Don Daly, and Brother Jim Jr. as well. Remember him in prayer. A lot of folks to remember in prayer. Also, again, our friends Jeff and Kim Merritt over at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Let's remember Johnny Ivey over at Welcome Hill, who's also been battling cancer for some time now. And let's remember our children's home tonight. Let's remember our people here at Calvary. Let's remember our friends and our family and surrounding churches, the body of Christ. Let's remember our nation, our world. And I just want to pause and say thank you for watching tonight. Thank you, Calvary, for your faithfulness. And thank you for anybody else who may be watching, a friend, a family member, or just a visitor. At this time, we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive right into the scriptures tonight. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Dear Lord, we come tonight in Jesus' name, a name that's above every name, Lord, and we're thankful and we're grateful, Lord, that we learned this morning that David felt like that, God, that he was going to die. David felt in his life, I'm sure, many different times that he was going under. And Lord, many times we may feel that way. But Father, tonight, help us to have grace that we may serve you more acceptably. Lord, let us tonight keep believing from faith to faith, step by step. Oh God, walking and talking with you, being determined that we're going to reach our own personal finish line in this life and receive all that you have for us. Lord, we pray for Calvary Baptist Church and every member, every life, every person that is represented, represents the church. We pray that you would be with every person. Lord, a special prayer for those that are bewildered tonight mentally. They may be discouraged. They may be even depressed. Lord, I pray for your anointing oil as the good shepherd to to anoint those minds and anoint those hearts so that they may continue on in this walk of life. Lord, we do pray for our president that you would shield him and guard him. We pray for upcoming elections in November. God, that you would be in control of that. We know you are. Father, all for our locals, those in leadership, first responders, we are a thankful people tonight for those things that are in place that make our life much easier. Help us in turn pray for them. We love you. We thank you. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Tonight, we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Job. The book of Job tonight for a few moments. And I want to mention some things here that I hope will be a help and a blessing to you and your family as we begin to set sail into a brand new week. The book of Job tonight, chapter number 22. Job chapter number 22. Just one observation I would like to make tonight, and that is verse number 21. Job 22 in verse number 21. The Bible says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. That's going to be our verse tonight. One verse, Job 22, verse number 21. Eliphaz is the speaker here. We know that Eliphaz is one of three of Job's friends. And we know that Job's friends came on the scene after Job started to break down after he lost his home, after he lost his health and his family and his fortune. His three friends came and their attempt was to comfort him, but Job said that ye are miserable comforters. So we have Eliphaz here and he is speaking. At least I believe it's the third speaking that Eliphaz gives to Job. And so Eliphaz is speaking here, and what Eliphaz is trying to do, he is trying to reconcile Job back to God. He's trying to reconcile him. And so Eliphaz is speaking to Job in Job chapter number 22. And this particular verse, Eliphaz is trying to reconcile Job back to God, yet Eliphaz presumes that sin lieth at the door of Job's heart. Eliphaz, he is presumptuous in his coming to Job with this speaking, this particular chapter, because his approach is to acquaint himself with God. And if he should acquaint himself with God and get to know God, then suffering would not be a part of Job's life. Now, we disagree with the kind of teaching that Eliphaz brings toward Job. We know that Job was a just and upright man. The Bible says perfect man, meaning his endeavors, meaning his maturity. And so this approach that Eliphaz has toward Job is incorrect. Just because a person is suffering in this life doesn't mean they don't know God. Just because a person may be suffering or going through great trial, it doesn't even mean that there's sin in their life, even if they know God. That's not necessarily the case here. You know that, and I know that. But what I want us to do is, I want to look at this verse tonight, verse number 21, because while Eliphaz is wrong in his approach to Job, his principles are correct. While Eliphaz is wrong in his approach to Job, yet Eliphaz's principles are not wrong. Eliphaz was wrong in the sense that if you get acquainted with God, if you know Him, then there won't be any suffering. So that was wrong. But yet there are some principles in this verse that are correct. And so tonight I want to endeavor to mention these principles in this verse, verse number 21. And I'd like to speak for a few moments on this subject, getting acquainted with God. Notice what he says again in verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Eliphaz was wrong in coming to Job in this manner, but yet Eliphaz was not wrong in the principles and content of what he was saying. Tonight, getting acquainted with God. Are you acquainted with the Lord tonight? Am I acquainted with the Lord tonight? Well, that's what I want to dive in and look a little bit into, and just look at some principal things out of this verse. Some things I'd like to share with you concerning the subject of getting acquainted with the Lord. Number one, if we are going to get acquainted with God, if we are going to get acquainted with the Lord, number one, there must be personal involvement. Personal involvement. Notice what he says. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. If there is going to be any kind of getting acquainted with the Lord, then personal involvement is a must. Acquaint now thyself with the Lord. Three things are involved when a person sets out to personally get involved, personally know the Lord, to get acquainted with the Lord. This personal involvement, acquaint now thyself with him. Three things are involved in getting personally involved and acquainted with the Lord. Number one, it has to do with getting to know him. He says, notice that first word, acquaint. Acquaint now thyself with him. And the word acquaint here, it just simply means getting to know. Getting to know. You see, when a person is getting acquainted with God, they are getting to know God. They are getting acquainted with him. It's not just a Sunday morning thing or a Wednesday thing. It's a daily thing. It's wanting to know more of the Lord. Now, when a person is getting acquainted with someone in general, what takes place? Over time, we begin to realize and understand their likes and dislikes. You have met them on your first engagement, but then the second time, you are getting acquainted with them. Each and every time that you talk with them, each and every time that you visit with them, each and every time that you have a conversation or go off or spend time with, you are getting to know them. And the Bible says here that we are to acquaint now thyself with him. Tonight I want to say, church, that we are to endeavor to acquaint ourselves with the Lord. It'll do all of us good to know what Jesus likes and what he does not like. You see, whenever we start out as babes in Christ, we come to him in salvation. That's the mere engagement process. That's when we meet him, but we don't know him in a very personal level yet. And then we begin to live our lives for him. We go to church and we hear preaching and teaching, and then we're at home or wherever the case may be, and we read our Bible and we pray and we do things along those lines. We are getting acquainted with the Lord. We read about his promises. We read about his truths, and we know that he has a purpose for us. We know he's working all things together for good. We know that he's with us and he's for us. And we know all of that. We begin to learn these things about him. We are getting acquainted with the Lord. And when a person begins to get acquainted with someone, they know what they like and dislike. I can say tonight that Christy knows what I'm for and what I'm not for. I know what she's for and what she's not for. And so there may be times when someone comes to Christy and says, Miss Christy, what do you think Brother Justin would say about this? Well, she already knows the answer to that because we are acquainted. Someone may come to me and say, Brother Justin, what do you think Miss Christy may think of this? Concerning the church to do for the young people. And I can already go ahead and tell you what I know she would say because we are acquainted. And I want to say when it comes to our individual lives, our walk with Jesus, we must be acquainted with him. Just saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I know you was buried and you rose again the third day. And accepting his plan of salvation, that's number one. But don't get it confused and don't shorten yourself on a fulfilled life. Because after salvation, it's time to get acquainted. It's time to sit down with him and read his word. It's time to get into that prayer closet and shut the door and see what he tells us in our spirits, the urges, the desires, the delights that we feel welling up in us. That's God speaking to us. That's us speaking to God, conversation with him. We are getting acquainted with him. That's after salvation. So we see that getting acquainted with God has to do with personal involvement. And number one, the first thing that's involved is getting to know him. But there's a second thing involved. Quickly getting to know him. Notice what the scriptures say. Acquaint now thyself with him. Can I say, church, that we only have a window of time left to get to know the Lord? In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. There is only a window of time left to get to know him. Folks need to get to know him quickly concerning salvation. Time is running short. Again, the Lord promises he'll come again for the church, and those that are not part of the church will be left behind for the wrath of God to be upon them. I want to say that you need to be acquainted with him concerning salvation quickly. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. But you say, Brother Justin, I'm already saved. Well, I say continually and indeed, quickly get to know him. You're already saved. You've already been to the cross and accepted Jesus. Acquaint now thyself with him. Get to know what he's for. Get to know what he's not for. Familiarize yourself with the promises of God and the word of God. Get a consistent prayer life. And so this getting acquainted with God business tonight has to do with personal involvement. Number one, getting to know him. He says acquaint. And then quickly getting to know him. Acquaint now thyself with him. But there's a third part of this personal involvement. Not only that, but making the first move. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. Acquaint now thyself with him. And so what he's saying here is, if there's going to be any acquaintance between us and the Lord, we have got to make the first move. Now, I say again, when it comes to salvation, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the first move. He draws, he convicts. But after that, assuming everyone saved that is listening right now, after salvation, it takes you making the first step toward him to be acquainted with him. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. You know, it goes back to whenever you met your love in your life. And whenever that was, you met your spouse, husband, wife. And maybe there was that first initial meeting when you met them, you seen them. I don't know. You got their phone number. You know, I can remember when Christy and I, we first met. And my Sunday school teacher said, well, why don't we all go out to eat over here at Steak and Shake on East West Connector? I'm sad to say that Steak and Shake is no longer there. But at the end of our dinner, and we were there with our Sunday school teacher and, you know, and his wife. And so we met each other and we had dinner. And then we were getting ready to leave and we were talking about the Silver Comet Trail. And she said, yeah, I'll go walking on the Silver Comet Trail. You'd have to come with me sometime. And so I asked for her phone number. She made it easy for me, church. I asked for her phone number. And so we met that night. But you see, if there was going to be any kind of acquaintance, getting to know each other after that, it was up to me to call her. I had to make that move. And the man has to make the first move. I know that's traditional. And I know down through time, there's women who make the first move. And all of that. We're talking about love here and making the first move. And listen, when it comes to the Lord, if we are going to be acquainted with him, we need to make that first move. We need to crack open our Bibles. We need to pray. I know I keep saying that and over again, but that's how we learn. And that is what we have to know him, is the Bible and prayer. And then we need to go to church as much as church is open. We need to stay tuned like you're staying in tune now. I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. But it's making that first move. It's wanting to develop a relationship. And so Eliphaz says here, although misapplied to Job, but the principles are right. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. He was telling Job that he needs to get to know God. And he needs to do it now. And he needs to make the first step. Tonight, when it comes to getting acquainted with God, number one, the first principle, personal involvement is necessary. Acquaint now thyself with him. There's a second principle. Not only personal involvement is necessary when you're getting acquainted with God, but what you'll find is that there is peace inwardly. When a person is getting acquainted with God, they will discover that there is peace found. He says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. How about that? And be at peace. Peace inwardly is a sure thing when it comes to getting acquainted with the Lord. Now, getting acquainted with God and being at peace, church, comes in two stages. The first stage is salvation, and that is positional peace. That's when we have peace with God. Talking about peace inwardly. Getting acquainted with God and being at peace comes in two stages. The first stage is positional peace. And that is through salvation we have peace with God. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace that comes through being acquainted with God, number one, it comes through salvation positionally. Before a person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, there is sin that lies at the heart door of every man and woman, boy and girl. And so that sin, the product of sin must be dealt with. And so when a person gets saved and they accept Jesus and His righteousness as their personal redemption and Savior, it settles that enmity that's between man and God. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, while they diluted a relationship that was perfect, sin entered the picture. And because of that, Jesus came and shed His innocent blood for guilty man. And so now when a person says, I know I'm a sinner, I know that Jesus died for me, He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for me, and you practice Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once you do that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the wrath of Almighty God is not abiding on those who accept Jesus as their Savior, because that sin problem has been dealt with. There has been a transaction taking place. Jesus paid for our sin upon the cross. And because of that, the moment we come to Him in faith, in repentance, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for me. There is a transaction that takes place. He gives the best for the worst. And now there's no sin that's blocking my relationship, your relationship between you and God the Father, because God the Son has cleared it up through His pure blood. I want to say tonight that getting acquainted with God has to do with peace inwardly. Getting acquainted with God and being at peace comes in two stages. Number one, positional peace. And that is salvation. That's having peace with God. But number two, and I believe that's where most of us are at tonight, and that is practical peace. That is living every day, already possessing peace with God, but that is every day going after the peace of God. The peace of God. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, notice what the scriptures say in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, church, tonight as we get acquainted with God, we get to know Him through salvation and we have peace with God. Now the challenge is having the peace of God. And you see, Colossians chapter number 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the challenge tonight, is allowing God's peace to rule in our heart, is allowing God's peace to be dominant in us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Our peace, in a practical sense, daily living, it hinges upon being acquainted with God. Not just through salvation, that's the peace with God, but the peace of God living day to day. Do you have the peace of God tonight in your life? What about that particular situation? Is God's peace dominant in your life? Back in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 15, the word rule here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule, it means to umpire. It means to decide. And so literally what Paul is saying in Colossians, he's saying that you may have peace with God through salvation, but the peace of God you must go after. He says sometimes in life there are things that try to disrupt our peace, and we have to allow the peace of God to govern in our hearts, to rule in our hearts. I want to say that the peace of God is something sometimes that is hard to attain, only because we're living in a fallen world and we have fleshly bodies. Our minds are not saved. Our hearts are saved. And we're trying to live for Him. We're trying to make decisions. We're trying to be responsible human beings and adults. And yet we may have peace with God, salvation, but there may be lacking the peace of God, and that is living. And so he tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you don't have the peace of God tonight, that's an indicator that something is wrong. You say, well, Brother Justin, you don't have to tell me something's wrong. I don't have no peace tonight because I got this situation going on. Therefore, let us get acquainted with God. Because when we get acquainted with God, we will know what He is for, what He's not for, what He likes, what He dislikes. And when we get acquainted with God, we will begin to understand that peace is a detector of what God is for and what God is not for. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So my answer tonight is this. How do I know where God's leading? How do I know where God what God is doing in my life? Where does He want me to go? What does He want me to do on any given day? I know the answer to that is allowing God's peace to umpire His leadings and His callings in my life, His guiding. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You ever heard the expression tonight, or the question, well, do you have peace about it? What that person is saying is, if you have peace about it, then probably you have spent some time in prayer about it, you have asked God about it, you have peace about it, and God is leading you to do such a thing because you have peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God umpire or decide in your hearts. So getting acquainted with God has to do with peace inwardly. The more we get to know Him, we will begin to discover what He's for, what He's not for. And we can live a life with peace on the inside. Not that we're perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but that we know and we can sense what He's doing and where He's leading. Peace inwardly. Talking about salvation, peace with God. Talking about living, peace of God. Let me mention one more thing. Getting acquainted with God, there's peace inwardly. There also is a personal involvement. But lastly tonight, getting acquainted with God has to do with a promise individually. Look at what he says. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. But then he says, thereby good shall come unto thee. Now we have a promise individually here, but I want to make a distinction right really fast. That the world's definition of good and Bible definition of good are two totally different things. The world's definition of good is attached to pride. If it feels good, if it doesn't set me back, if it doesn't involve much work, then this is good. This is good. And tonight I'm definitely not saying that that's the kind of business God is in once you get to know Him, of allowing you to go through life at ease with no work involved. I'm not saying tonight that God is in the business of allowing good to come to your life when there's no suffering involved and it only feels good. That's the world's definition of good. This world has a very vague definition of the things that come from God, what's good or not. Meaning if, well, you know, God is a good God and He is a good God, but I know God is in it if I don't suffer. I know God is in it if it doesn't cost me anything. I know God is in it and God is good to me. If nothing, again, there's no cost on my, there's no personal involvement. I don't have to strain or stress over anything. Then I know that it came from God. That's the world. The world has a vague definition of good and things coming from God that's good. And so the world's definition of good has to do with pride. But the Bible definition of good has more to do with purpose. While the world says that thus and such is good for me because it feels good, it doesn't set me back. There's no extensive work that's involved on my behalf. It's me and my three or me and my four no more kind of mentality. That is the world's definition of something that's good for me. And it's attached to pride. But the Bible definition is attached to purpose. He says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. So what necessarily are we promised from the hand of God that's good that will come to us? Well, the Bible definition of good has to do with purpose. God has a way of sending good things our way. Things that mature us. Things that motivate us to go after Him. God has a way of sending good things, imperfect things, good gifts, imperfect gifts that help us out in our Christian walk, that doesn't set us back. God has a way of sending good things in our life when we get acquainted with Him. He ushers these things into our lives because they promote our walk and allows us to reach out to our neighbor and love them. God has a way of sending good things, and these good things are attached to purpose. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what does that good mean? Does that mean that all things are good? Does that mean when I get acquainted with God that in my life there won't be setback and heartache? Does that mean that there won't be things that come my way that doesn't feel good? No. But what that means is all things work together for good. That simply means that the good part is a part that has to do with purpose for the believer. That means everything that comes our way is constantly God is like the puppet master. He's like a puppet master. And we're the puppets, and He's allowing everything to work together for good. He's moving the strings together, so to speak. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And so for our benefit, God is doing something good. And the Scripture says back in Job 22, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Church, I cannot promise a new house, a new car, a fat bank account. This is not a prosperity gospel that benefits the pocketbook. But this is a prosperity gospel that promotes spiritual fruit and prospers you as a believer. God does have good and perfect gifts, and they come down from the Father of lights. James chapter 1 and verse number 17 says, and in Psalms 84:11, the Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from thee that walk uprightly in Him. Listen, God meets our needs, but then God also allows and He ushers good things to come into our life that draws us close to Him. We have the assurance that He's at work and all things are working together for good. God, listen, God wants you to have a good spouse, and God wants you to have good kids, and God wants you to have a godly home and all of those things. Doesn't mean there's no work involved, but what it does mean, that when you get acquainted with Him, He has a way of ushering those things your direction. It may be through the good, the bad, the ugly, but something good is coming out of my life. It may be through trial and turmoil. It may be through setback and heartache, but something good is taking place in the life of a Christian. Listen, tonight we need to get acquainted with the Lord, and when we do, there is a promise individually that good will come unto us. Again, the world's definition of good simply is pride, anything that inflates the ego. But the Bible definition of good has to do with purpose. And I want to say tonight that as we begin a brand new week, you begin a brand new week, let us all, beginning with me, just get a little more acquainted with the Almighty. Let me, let you, let all of us get a little more acquainted with Him. Again, this verse tonight, Eliphaz used it toward Job, but he used it wrongfully. Job didn't sin in his life. It's not because of sin that Job was suffering. And so Eliphaz was one of those miserable comforters. But in that verse tonight, this verse, there are some principles. What he was saying was true, but who he was saying it to was not so much true. And tonight, getting acquainted with God, personal involvement, peace inwardly, promise individually. I want to say that He's the love of my life. If it had not been for Jesus, I would not be on my way to heaven. If it had not been for Jesus, I wouldn't have this great, awesome privilege of preaching tonight. If it had not been for Jesus, there would be no, what does the Bible say? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There would be no spouse of mine. There would be no child of mine. Jesus is number one in my life, because without him there is and will not be any other. So tonight, that's the message. Getting acquainted with God. Just something simple out of the scriptures tonight. Maybe in a verse that hasn't been preached or shared much. I've never preached out of that verse, but I hope it was a help and a blessing. But we'll bow for a word of prayer, and you feel free to pray where you're at tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We've delivered our souls today, and I pray tonight that the message was received on getting acquainted with God. How, Lord, that we are to spend time with you and get to know some things about you. Father, we know that peace follows. Peace follows. Lord, we have the promise that you're working all things together for good. We have a promise, Lord, that no good thing will you withhold from those that walk uprightly in you. We have that promise that every good and perfect gift is from above, and the Father of lights, wherein there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Lord, I'm thankful that the Bible definition of good is linked to purpose. Father, tonight I pray for those who need to be revived. Start with me. Work through the entire church. Thank you for those, the faithful, watching tonight. Thank you for those who may be visiting watching tonight. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say before we conclude tonight, I said this morning that we're spending some, taking some time off this week, and good Lord willing, we will be back on not this Wednesday, back teaching again. That is not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday from our home, and we've got the pulpit covered. This coming Sunday, this next Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, of course, backing up to this coming Wednesday, we also have coverage there. And so we appreciate everyone, but we'll have some time off. We'll be back as soon as our time is over. And we love you. We thank you. And we'll see you soon.